Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. Just the thing you need to crush your sleep routine. As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related and muscle recovery benefits. If you've seen the Sleepy Girl mocktail videos on TikTok, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. Tart Cherry Juice is where the internet girlies say a better night's rest is, and I gotta say, they're not wrong. Tart cherries may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin. So if you're trying to get a better night's sleep, you should drink the good stuff. R.W. Knudsen is 100% juice made with only high quality ingredients. R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Kate Spencer.
And I am Dori Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
We're not. We're two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And as I did mention last week, I did get a new retinol from my dermatologist. But then I also have a tretinoin, and I don't know if I can use them both, like, on and off, not at the same time. I don't think so, but I have to ask the derm.
Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. Tretinoin has been, like, officially fully incorporated into my routine, and I feel like it's working for me.
Really? Well, I saw, when I saw you, when we went out to dinner, like, a month or so ago, you were, like, glowing flame. Yeah, and you were sick. It was when you were sick.
Oh, that's right. It was probably the glow of sickness.
Well, it was working for you because I was like, it was like Benjamin Button vibes.
Just
a dewy goddess.
I've been doing, and I feel like we haven't discussed this. Kate loves when I just drop a skincare bomb that we haven't discussed.
I really do.
I've really been using a lot of vitamin C ever since we talked to Dr. Whitney Bow.
Now, by a lot of vitamin C, I want to know specifically what brand, and then do you mean every morning, or are you doing it
every
morning, twice a day?
And on the nights that I don't use tretinoin.
Okay. And what vitamin C are you using?
So right now I'm using a vitamin C serum from a brand called Vetted that sent me some stuff to try. And I do really like it. It's called Vetted Derm Lab is the brand. And it is, they have a vitamin C complex serum that they say is 15% vitamin C complex. Also, this is so funny. I'm looking at the description on their website and it says, please note that we do not use neutralizing fragrances in our products. The VC vitamin C complex serum contains ferulic acid, which can have a distinctive smell. It does indeed have a distinctive smell.
Is that the hot dog smell?
It's not really a hot dog smell, but it is like a, it's like a smell. And there have been a couple times where like Henry has like either kissed my face or he was in like a licking phase for a little while. Like,
oh no.
He like, and he was like, ah! And I was like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, don't lick my face, buddy.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what I've been using lately, and I do really like it. I had been using the May Love vitamin C that I also really liked. So yeah, I mean, I think the key with vitamin C is to use it quickly because it does go bad.
I know, and I'm the worst at using anything quickly, so
yeah,
I gotta get on that. Well, I just also want to note thank you to everybody who has so kindly reached out after our announcement episode last week mm-hmm. that I am stepping down from the pod. Mm-hmm. All you listeners have been so incredibly kind and supportive to both of us. So thank you for that. It means a lot.
It really does.
Yeah. A lot, like big time.
And really, truly end of an era.
I mean, yes. What's wild is we've been doing this podcast long enough for it kind of to be an era. Like, it is a long time. Someone was like, you've been doing this for 6 years?
It's true. It's true.
And most of that was during a pandemic.
I know. I know.
Yeah, it is. It is interesting. I mean, we just received a really nice message on our Instagram from someone who was like, I just went through something similar, and and they were like, and it's amazing what happens when you open yourself up to like something new. And they were kind of speaking to both of us, and I was like, this is a really nice message, a nice kind of like words of wisdom from someone who is on their own journey.
That.
Right?
Aww.
Oh yeah, but I mean, I still am going to need to know what vitamin C serums you're using.
Yeah, well, I will tell you.
I mean, we are still going to be friends. You can still text me.
Yes, we are still going to be friends. That is true. We are not going to be friends.
No, this friendship is talking about an eternal flame.
You can't get rid of this friendship so easily.
That's kind of how I feel.
Yeah.
But it's a big change, you know? Life is it's a change.
And
it's
a change.
It's also a change when like an era ends for you. And I think like anytime you leave a job that you have been at for a while, it can feel very unsettling. And I'm leaving, but like yours is changing, and that is also unsettling. You know, there's like a wobbly period.
Totally. For
and
sure.
So that will be interesting to navigate.
Yeah. I know. It's a lot. And you know, Elise has like big size 11 shoes to fill.
You know what? And I'm like afraid they might be going up to size 12. I feel like my feet are only growing.
Mine went up to basically my right foot is a 10.5. My left foot, see, that's the problem too. My right foot is noticeably bigger than my left foot.
Like to that to the common eye, like someone staring at your feet would be like,
No. Okay. But like when I put like when I measure my feet, my foot is like I think it's a solid quarter size bigger.
Is there a shoe company where you can order different, like you don't have to order shoes in a pair?
So I think that some places will let you do it if you're like an amputee and you only need like one shoe.
That makes a lot of sense.
I don't know if just like little old me with two different size feet, but what would be ideal is if I could find someone with similarly sized feet who had the opposite problem.
That would be
their left foot, and we have the same taste in shoes.
That would be, you know what, if you find that person, hats off to you.
That is my twin flame.
That would be truly amazing. You have the same taste in shoes and the same alternate
yes, exactly.
feet with different so sizes. Just,
right. We could just buy the shoes and then swap the appropriate ones.
You know, somebody out there must. Right?
I know.
It's kind of do you believe that like every one of us has a doppelganger?
I'll put it this way. I don't not believe it. And I also believe, especially if you like look throughout human history, like maybe my doppelganger was alive in like 1647.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. How weird is that?
Yeah.
It's possible.
Of course. Yeah. All this stuff is very strange and cosmic.
If you're a Dory's foot soulmate, please reach out to the podcast. Our email is in the show notes. Dory would love to hear from you.
God.
But also, Dory has very good taste in footwear styles. So you've got to be on your game here.
Yeah.
You've always had a good shoe taste.
Thank you. Although lately it's gotten tougher.
Well, because you're leaning more toward, I would say, comfort, and you know your feet better, right? Like, you know you're That's a narrow heeled person.
Yes, that is true.
So it limits your choices. That is very true.
Yes. Yes. Well, Kate, should we introduce our illustrious guest?
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to talk to this person. Talk about a beauty expert. Talk about a person whose opinions I trust.
Yes.
Talk about style. Talk about pizzazz. I'm talking about Kirby Johnson.
Yeah, you are.
Kirby is an on-camera host, a podcaster. She is the co-host of Gloss Angeles. I would say that is a sister or a cousin pod to Forever 35. Mm-hmm. She's a producer and a journalist. She started her career at Pop Sugar in 2011, and she helmed several shows for them. She grew Pop Sugar's beauty video presence online. She has taken her written content to publishers like Allure and turned it into fascinating videos for platforms like TikTok, YouTube Shorts, and Instagram Reels. She's racking up those billions and billions of views. She offers like great behind the scenes set secrets for shows like Euphoria, Stranger Things. She's just like a true expert.
She's so cool.
And a couple more things to note about Kirby. She was nominated for a 2022 iHeartRadio Podcast Award in the fashion and beauty category. Well-deserved, I'd say. And you can listen to Gloss Angeles wherever you get podcasts. She and her co-host Sarah Tan, also wonderful, break down the bullshit in the industry while edutaining listeners on how ingredients actually work. They really do break down like all the different claims, what's marketing, what brands you should actually be buying. They've had some amazing guests. Like, it's a great pod. They are both so smart and insightful and also wildly charming. So we're very excited to talk to Kirby. She's a star.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Kirby, welcome back to the show.
We love a repeat guest.
I am thrilled. I'm honored to be a repeat guest.
You're also like one of the last guests that Kate will get to interview.
That's right. So you better fucking bring your A game, Kirby.
I know. Shit. Help
okay.
me.
Okay. No pressure here.
Oh my
but
God.
I need this to pop. I need this interview to be.
Let's expose
100.
Some people. Let's do this. Let's go off the bang.
Yes. Give me all your beauty dirt.
Oh my God.
You actually,
I'm so
like,
excited.
I mean, you are a beauty editor and I would love to get into all kind of like insider beauty stuff with you.
Totally.
Because I find that I like turn to you for beauty coverage often via Instagram. And I do find like you're very matter of fact and straightforward with like what is working and what you can just, you know, like gently put aside. And I appreciate that.
Thank you. That's my goal. I always am trying to just help. I'm a helper.
Well, how do you help yourself is the question we're going to start with. What is like a self-care practice that is doing it for you right now? Do you have something that you do on a regular basis to provide yourself with care?
Yes, this is going to sound a little bougie, but I make time for a massage. I need physical touch.
Not bougie. Okay, good.
Because sometimes people are like, you know, well, it is a luxury to be able to go get a massage, right? But like,
yes,
I love physical touch. I need that. It's, you know, I find that I connect with people if I first meet them and they like wrap their arm around mine. I'm like, oh, we are simpatico. Like, this makes me feel safe. This makes me feel good. And I go to Squeeze, which is in Studio City. They only have one LA location right now, which is insane to me because they've been alive and kicking for a while now, but I think they're opening more locations. And I like that you just use an app. You don't have to call. You don't have to figure out. You can see, you know, what type of therapist, whether, you know, whether they identify as a man, you know, or woman or whatever, like whatever you prefer, you can adjust the type of music that you're listening to through this app. Oh. So like basically when you show up, everything is catered to you.
Oh.
Yes. You two need to go. It is truly a wonderful girls' day activity.
And I go to the Now for massages.
Yes.
Which is like a chain. And I like it.
And the Now, I think, has so many locations in LA. Mm-hmm. So it's like you go in. You have to be quiet so you don't have to worry because, you know, they're not walls. They're like curtains. Right. Mm-hmm. It's like supposed to feel like you're in Tulum getting a massage. And that's what I love about it. It's like the sound machines are on and you hear the waves and you have to be quiet. But there's something about Squeeze that I will travel over the hill. I live in West Hollywood and I'll travel over the hill to Studio City to go. I have a membership. And so I get, you know, I pay a certain amount every month and that goes into my bank. And if I don't use it 1 month, it carries over. So sometimes I have enough to do two massages a month, but usually it's enough for one 80-minute massage. And I have my little groove. I go do that and it's like 2 hours of me just chilling and not having to think about work or anything else going on in my life. So that's what I do to kind of keep my sanity.
That. Yeah. That sounds perfect. I just looked it up. It looks like they are opening a couple more locations in LA. It says coming 2024 to Santa Monica and Pasadena.
Oh, so finally. Hallelujah.
Thank
God. They have so many around the country. Like they're like a franchise. So they're rapidly expanding. And one of the founders is actually Ali Webb of Dry Bar. So yes. So it's like her and a co-founder. And they basically were like, how do we make this an easy experience? One of the best things that they have at Squeeze is, you know, when you get on the table and you're just like, you're obviously naked and you're just laying there with your face down and you're like, when are they coming in? Like,
yes, the waiting period.
Yeah. You're so vulnerable laying there. With Squeeze, you get undressed, you know, to your liking, and then you get on the bed face down and there's a little button underneath the bed that you press and it turns on a green light and lets your therapist know that you are ready for them to come in.
Oh, that's genius.
It's so smart. So you never get this awkward encounter like because sometimes they wait a long time and you're like, you're cutting into my massage time. I want you to get in here and start. So it's just they know immediately when you are ready for the hands to be on the body.
I
start to get worried where I'm like, they've gone away or they said, can I come in? And I didn't hear it. And now they're like, I go to this like bizarro worst case massage scenario whenever that's happened.
Totally. Yep. Oh. And that solves that. So I love it.
Cool endorsement. I have never even heard of Squeeze. So this will be on my list to try this year.
Yes.
So we're just going to take a short break and we will be right back.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
You know, the weather's getting warmer, so I, for one, am ready to say goodbye to my jackets and my sweaters and hello to shorts and tees.
I'm right there with you, Kate.
And you know what? I actually, I donned double Quince the other night. I've got to tell you.
Okay. Yeah.
This is what's so great about Quince, because I feel like I have really been able to update my wardrobe like for the long haul without spending a fortune. I wore a gorgeous white tee, like a simple, perfect white cotton t-shirt from Quince. But it was a little chilly out, so I threw on my cashmere hoodie, also from Quince.
Okay.
Like, they have basically given me a lineup of timeless pieces that I feel like keep me looking, I'm going to toot my own horn, effortlessly chic, whether it's winter or summer. They've got premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. You got washable silk tops, really stunning 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. Like, truly, the list goes on and on. And the best part is that Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, something that's very important to us. So look, if you're going on a trip, if you just need to update your summer wardrobe, get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/forever35 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/forever35 to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/forever35. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, look, I don't know about you, but when I hold on to some negative feelings, it really starts to impact my day to day. I get a little snippy and short with the people in my life. Things start to really feel overwhelming. And look, it's just generally not great for me or for the people that I am interacting with. And I do find that my time in therapy is a real safe space to get those things off my chest and figure out how to work on and work through things that are weighing on me, or maybe weighing on you. For example, like, I have actually really been working on mindfulness in therapy.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Easier said than done, but that's the work, right? Like, just learning about kind of like really creating a breathing practice and paying attention to my physical body and my feelings. Therapists are trained to help you figure out the cause of challenging emotions and to learn productive coping skills. If you're thinking about trying therapy, try BetterHelp. It's convenient and accessible anywhere because it is 100% online. All it takes to get started is filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you're not vibing with the therapist, you can switch at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/forever35 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/forever35. Kirby, what was your like intro into beauty? Are you one of those people who was like, I was experimenting with makeup when I was 4, or did you kind of come to it later in life? Has it been an ongoing experience for you? Like, you are a beauty editor, but I would say also more importantly, a beauty lover, I think.
Yes.
When did that start for you? Like, what was the entry point?
So my mom was a cosmetologist. So growing up, I was her little doll. She would perm my hair. She gave me the Princess Diana cut to, you know, my disliking when I was in fourth grade.
My
fourth grade with the Princess Di cut.
And like the blowout of it all. I mean, really, she was prepping me. She wanted me to marry Prince William, actually, which is so funny. But I was like, oh, my mom does these really cool things that can like change my appearance. Like, people growing up thought I had naturally curly hair because she'd been perming my hair for so long, you know, looked like Shirley Temple. So,
oh my God,
that was my introduction. And then, you know, I remember my grandmother used to collect these little, I think they were like Avon lipsticks. They were sample sizes. They were so tiny. And you would get them.
My grandmother had those too. Oh, the little tiny lipsticks. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
Oh.
They came out with a tin a couple of years ago as like an homage to those original lipsticks. And I refused to throw it away because I'm like, oh, this reminds me of my grandma. But like, my mom has stories of me putting lipstick all over my face and like all over my body. So I was like very early on a beauty lover. And then I started to read Allure magazine, the Bible. And I remember loving going to the beauty directory in the back and seeing like when I was a teenager, oh, I grew up in Texas in the Austin area. So I would be like, oh, they're recommending this salon at the Arboretum in Austin. Like maybe I could go there and get my hair cut. And then I would see the prices. I'm like, never mind. That's not happening. But I felt like it was such a cool thing to be able to see all of these different types of people and what they offered, whether it was hairstyling or nails or makeup or whatever it was. And Allure also kind of opened me up to the world of celebrity glam squads. I remember, it, you know, they weren't called glam squads at the time, but I remember being like, oh, Hilary Duff has a makeup artist and a hairstylist that did her look for this, you know, story. Or I remember one time Hillary recommended like Mario Badescu rose water spray. And I'm sure that was like a paid placement, but like I didn't know that. But I remember asking my mom to take me to the Arboretum in Austin, Texas, so I could go to this one place that carried Mario Badescu and I could pick up that rose water spray. And then I thought I was hot shit in seventh grade, you know, spritzing myself in the middle of the hallway. And my teachers were like, what is she doing? And my friends are like, what is that? So it's been an early love affair. And it's so funny because I think it's, you know, the term beauty editor has changed so much from when it first began to now. Not only were you editing stories, but you were like really curating what beauty was. And I think that there's still that element now, but since, you know, print media is dying and even digital is really at a crossroads right now, there's not so much of the taste-making element anymore. And I always joke that I was like the worst beauty editor because anytime I turn in a story, it's like, that's what they pay y'all the big bucks for, to edit my stories. Like, I'm just like the beauty writer. I just like send it to you and then you make it look good. Like you make it look and sound good. So I've always had the passion for it. I love it.
Do you feel like your perspective has changed as you've gotten older, or your relationship to beauty, or like understanding its role in culture and influence in culture has changed? Obviously, it's obviously a changing thing, but has your perspective changed with time?
Totally. I remember moving to LA and thinking that makeup was a non-negotiable for me, that I always had to be presenting a certain way, looking a certain way. Even my hair color, I had to be blonde. Like I wanted to be like a Jessica Simpson or a Britney Spears. And I actually moved to LA to pursue on-camera work. And so I would see, you know, who they were putting on TV, like E! News. And at the time, it was a lot of brunettes. So I was like, oh, if I want to stand out, I need to maintain my blonde. You know, it was just like things like that. And then as you get older, my face is changing. Like the amount of makeup that I used to wear is not going to look as great anymore. The way that I used to maybe contour my face or highlight my face has completely changed. And then also my relationship to it. Like I am fine going out in public, no makeup at all, wearing a star face and a hat and calling it a day. Like, I don't feel like I need to present any particular way anymore, but I do still love the act of putting it on. Like, to me, it's art. It's like, okay, I want my shadow to have a gradient and I want my wing to be super sharp. And then how do I pair like the right? That's fun to me. Like, it's like a little art project. And so I find value in that because it's fun. But I always tell people, I think one misconception is that when you're in the beauty industry, you're constantly judging other people. It's like how I feel about fashion. I'm like terrified of fashion people because I'm like, please just don't judge my outfit. Like I don't even know how to like dress myself properly. Like I don't know what's cool or not. Just I buy what I feel good in and what's comfortable on me. And in the beauty industry, I think a lot of people are thinking, oh, they're judging how good my makeup looks or if I have pores, which is so crazy because, like, yes, we have pores. We've had pores. Everybody has pores. So, but for me, I'm never looking at someone going, I wish I could fix that. Or I wish, ooh, she would look better if she did this. Like, that's not even something that I think about. And so that's kind of where I try to come from, is not telling people like how they should be doing something, but if they're curious about something and maybe they're noticing like, oh, my eyes are getting a little heavier as I'm getting older, or I feel like I look tired all the time. I'm trying to provide solutions that can help them, but not make them feel like they're not worthy enough, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's so funny because we were just talking about how, like, as we age, our makeup looks different on our face and we have to use different products just because our skin has changed. Like, that is just a biological reality.
Totally.
You mentioned Starface, and I wanted to ask you, like, do you have thoughts on kind of how Gen Z approaches beauty? Because in some ways, it seems to me that they seem so much more sort of like liberated and willing to walk out of the house with a pimple patch on their face or just have acne and like they're cool with it. But, you know,
sorry, that was my phone.
Oh, no. I guess I'm just wondering, like, do you think that all of that is authentic? And how is that going to kind of, how do you think that's going to kind of evolve as they age?
This is such a good question, but it's also a hard one because
totally.
To your point, they are so liberated. They don't feel like they have to model the way they look off of certain constructs that maybe we were used to growing up, right? Their idea of makeup could be anything from like the quote unquote clean girl look, which is very, very minimal and fresh face, to like a full beat down, like Chapel Roan performance makeup, you know, which I love because it's really freedom of expression and having fun with it. But what I will say is, like, I think that I had a problem with TikTok, especially where I think Gen Z is like the most rampant in terms of consumerism, in that they would look at people in their 30s and they would say one of two things. Like, if they didn't like what you had to say, they'd be like, okay, you're old, geriatric, or they would figure out a way to like minimize you by saying that you look old or that you are old. And it's like, you know, when I first got on TikTok, I was probably 33, 34. And I'm like, this is not old, like just on a fact, but you don't like what I have to say, or maybe you don't like the way I'm saying it. And you are now deciding to cut me down based on my looks. Alternatively, they would look at you and go, oh my God, you look so good for your age, as if being in your 30s means that you're supposed to be decrepit and ready to open up the crypt for someone. And
well, and also that it's like this huge compliment for one of them to be saying you look young.
Right. And I'm just like, this is absolutely crazy to me because, I mean, I remember when I was in high school, when I met someone in their 30s, I thought that person had it together and they were an adult. And it's like, as everybody listening to this knows, like, as you get older, you realize like your parents are living their life for the first time. You're living this life for the first time. You're still figuring it out. And sure, I look composed, I look mature, whatever, but like, I still feel 18 at heart sometimes, you know? So I don't know where Gen Z is going to go with this. I do find it really fascinating because even Gen Alpha is getting into the beauty conversation. I mean, Gen Alpha is obsessed with Drunk Elephant. They will have these little skincare parties. So they'll set up their phones in their bathrooms, FaceTime all their friends, and they will like remove their makeup. I'm putting that in quotes because it's like, what really are they wearing at that age? And have like a little skincare party before they go to sleep. And I sure as heck was not doing that. We obviously didn't have the technological capabilities to do stuff like that. But I find that more of my friends who have kids that are in the 7, 8, 9, you know, 10 range, they're asking for parties where they go get learn how to do a facial at home on themselves. So I feel conflicted because I'm like, you're a kid, like just enjoy your life. But then at the same time, there's studies that young women are going through menstruation way earlier, like as young as 8, 9 years old. So with that could come with hormonal changes, breakouts, things of that nature. And, you know, kind of just to pivot off of that, there is a bill that's being introduced or may be introduced into legislation here in California where it would ban certain ingredients to kids under the age of, I think, 13. And initially, I was like, oh, this is interesting because they're really trying to keep young children from being marketed anti-aging products, which I think we can all agree is a good thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I think where they're going to get, where it's going to get lost, and I don't think this will actually pass or be introduced, is the two, there's two categories of ingredients that they want to get rid of for this particular demographic. And that's vitamin A and its derivatives, which a lot of us know as like retinoids, and then citric acid, glycolic acid, and ascorbic acid, you know, ascorbic acid, vitamin C. And I'm thinking to myself, there are so many kids that benefit from retinoids for acne. And on top of that, how are they expecting any of these retailers to validate that the person that's buying these products isn't going to give them to like a 10-year-old anyways? You know what I mean? So it's just nuts that this is a part of the beauty zeitgeist that we're like now talking about potential bills to keep young children from purchasing anti-aging products. It's wild.
Yeah. I mean, I have an 11-year-old and a 13-year-old. So I have, you know, one at the tail end of Gen Z and one at the beginning of Gen Alpha, essentially. Both of them are as you've described, but my 11-year-old did do what you just said recently with a friend who lives not out of, like, they live in different states, and they wanted to talk, like, FaceTime, and she FaceTimes friends often, but she was like, we did our skincare routines together. Like, what does that mean? And she's like, we washed our faces and that was it.
Okay. I was going to say, what is her skincare routine? I love hearing about this.
Her older sister's very into skincare and stuff. So my younger one has kind of picked up on it, but she doesn't really use it. Like, she thinks the things are cool and she's like, oh, this is neat, but doesn't really do any of it.
Right.
It's more like she's collected little tchotchkes.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I have like made a practice of always trying to teach them to like wash their face, put on sunscreen, the same way I'm like, let's brush and floss. You know what I mean? That feels like care, that body care that I just want to kind of instill in them. So she kind of will do that occasionally. So I don't think, she was like, we just washed our faces. Like, they didn't even really, I don't think, know what they were talking about, but they did want to talk to each other on FaceTime and wash their faces together.
It's like cute, which I appreciate. Cute.
Yeah. But you know, it is something, and we've talked about this on the podcast a lot, where like, they are getting so much information that like, even in the ways that I have tried to set boundaries with my kids and their access to stuff online and apps and everything, like it's still all fine. It's like slang or anything else. It all finds its way into their worlds. If they are, you know, my kids go to, you know, big schools and they talk to a lot of people and they hear a lot of things and they get a lot of information.
The ages and stuff with Gen Z is interesting though, because they are so like aware of everything else, and this seems like a huge blind spot for them. And I feel like there's also been some stuff lately about how obsessed they are with looking old, and or I guess not looking old. And so it does seem like the ageism is kind of like the last frontier. We should all be trying to be age neutral, maybe.
Well, I mean, don't you think that also has something to do with the way in which like the normalization, and I think just like the way injections are so much more commonplace now than they were even 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And I feel like I see people in their 20s getting things like Botox and fillers, whereas the way I had always thought about it was like, once you hit a certain age, you do that if you want, because you're quote unquote getting old.
Totally.
But now it just, you know, that now there's like the language of preventative Botox.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's very commonplace for millennials and Gen Z in a way that I am still kind of like, what?
It's crazy, because preventative anything, especially with injectables, is just a straight up marketing campaign.
Right.
Like, it's like got milk. It's like, okay, like... Big milk came for the masses. No, literally, it's like preventative Botox.
Oh,
and so you're like, what? And we often, like on Los Angeles, get asked too, when should I start? And I'm like, you might not need Botox. Like, you might not need any neuromodulator. You can really F up your face too. I mean, I do appreciate some of these influencers that are like, oh, I thought masseter Botox was like going to make my face look like Bella Hadid's. And then it just made me look 20 years older because my entire face fell because I didn't have what I needed to fill out my lower face.
What is masseter? What part of the body? What is that? Masseter okay, Botox?
So like that chewing muscle, like when you so if you grind your teeth or you clench at night, which is what I do, you can get an injection, a very small amount of like whatever neuromodulator you prefer in there. And it will basically relax that muscle so that it's not as prominent. And it has can really like round out the face. But you have to be careful because it can also make your face fall. And, you know, because you do need like something to hold up the sides of the face. But yeah, it's like if you have TMJ, a lot of people will say like masseter Botox could potentially help you, especially you have like a more square face. And it's not even square. It's more like if your masseter muscles are so pronounced that it almost makes like a trapezoid, like they jut out to the side and then your lower face comes in. And if you notice that, you could benefit from masseter Botox just to relieve any pain that you might be experiencing from that. But you know, I've gotten that in the past. I'm not regular with it because I like the shape of my face. So I'm not trying to shape, but now that's like what it's being used for. They're like, hey, we'll do masseter Botox and then we'll put a little here and a little here on your lower face. And then we'll make your face look more oval, or we'll give you like plastic surgeons call it like the face shape of youth, which is like more like of a rounded face or whatever. And that's the thing about TikTok too. Wow. It's really democratized these intense beauty services, which, you know, I don't have kids, but this is probably the number one reason why I wouldn't want my kids on social media is getting access to see things like people flying across the world to get a hair transplant, or there was like a really bad trend of people flying. I can't even remember where it was. Somewhere across the world to go get veneers, and they were shaving these people's teeth so far down and like giving them these really crazy looking like yassified teeth to the point where like actual cosmetic dentists in the United States were like, this girl is going to have so many problems as she ages because she's probably going to start, her bone is going to start deteriorating.
Oh,
like, I know, crazy stuff. And so, but it's the thing about TikTok. It's like, oh, they sold you this in like a 2-minute video, but you didn't bother to go to see who is this person. Are they just some rando, or are they a person that actually knows what they're talking about? And it's kind of wild. It's kind of wild that is how things catch fire these days.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. You know, we have been delving more and more into the topic of our skin as we get older and how we treat it and how we love it. Because look, as I'm learning in my mid-40s, as you get older, you deal with new things when it comes to your skin. Not that they're bad, they're just new. You know what I mean? Like, I am now just discovering creppiness, Dory.
Okay.
Which is visible on my neck and chest. Luckily,
it's a thing.
It's a thing. Luckily, OneSkin, our sponsor today, knows all about things like creppiness. And I'm not overly concerned with aesthetics, but like, I do just want to keep my skin healthy as I age.
Totally.
I love their topical supplements. They really help your skin feel, I don't want to say younger, but just vibrant, refreshed. They combine tissue engineering, data analysis, and cutting edge longevity science to literally create the world's most effective product to help with skin aging. I am particularly fond of their face topical supplement. It's essentially a moisturizer, but it has their proprietary OS01 peptide to really help with all the parts of our skin that are exposed to environmental damage. You can use it on your face, your hands, your neck. I know here where we live in Los Angeles, our hands, we're driving. That sun is coming at us at all times. OneSkin believes the purpose of skincare is not just to improve how we look, but to optimize our skin biology so that it is more resilient to the aging process. They really create next level skincare. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and, more importantly, acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code OVER50 at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code OVER50. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This is the other thing that I kind of struggle with in terms of like the TikTokification of everything, is that it seems to have like homogenized beauty standards even more than they already were, which was already very extreme. I'm just thinking about veneers, and Dory knows this is like a recent obsession of mine, because I don't think I realized, especially
it's a
like,
long time obsession of mine.
Yeah, you were already on it, and it just dawned on me that these teeth that I kept seeing like on film and TV weren't real.
Right.
But also I think a lot of like a lot of these people that we are seeing who aren't, they're celebrities, but they're in the influencer space, are all doing these things.
Yeah.
And it's, everybody has kind of just started to morph into the same, I don't know. It's just like the idea of like individual expression feels like it's starting to get lost a little bit. And I don't know, maybe I'm not seeing, you know, maybe I need to like expand my horizons, but that just feels like a little bit of what it's like online these days.
No, Kate, I think you're right, because I think like one of the points you're trying to make is like, obviously there are creators of color that look very different than what we're seeing from this very homogenized beauty standard. However, TikTok really does focus on this one specific group. You know what I mean?
Well, like the algorithm essentially isn't mm-hmm. also the algorithm essentially racially biased. Like it's racist,
yes.
Right?
Like it, there's been stories about that.
Yeah, yep. More white influencers in your feed, et cetera, et cetera.
Totally. And so I like to tell people, it's funny. I was driving down 3rd Street and I saw this advertisement. I could not tell you what the brand was, but I remember looking at the models and going, that feels so 2016, 2017, because they looked like carbon copies of the Kardashians. And I feel like at that point, it was like the long jet black hair. It was like the very, very overfilled lips. It was like this tiny, tiny waist and these big butts. And they were super tan. And I remember being like, oh yeah, like this is like Kardashian cosplay, but it feels dated. It feels very much of a time of like maybe 2016 to 2019. Now what we're seeing is like, I feel like we'll look back in 5 or 10 years and be like, oh yeah, like that pandemic era, that, you know, 2024, 2025, it's like these insanely perfect teeth that everybody has. Like it'll be like the veneer era where like nobody has any personality to their smile because it all looks like this completely white straight across smile. So when I talk about trends, I think every expert I've ever interviewed hates talking trends, because if you're a hair colorist, a makeup artist, they don't want to do what's trending. They want to do their best, most artistic work, and also what kind of caters to the editorial they're doing, or the red carpet that they're doing, or the person that they're working on. They're not really like, okay, well, this sunset blush is trending, so like let's do that on the carpet or whatever. But they have to play the game if they want to get coverage and, you know, on websites or whatever, or if they want their video to go viral. So like sometimes some of these people are just making up things and you're like, the wolf cut is literally the shag. Like, what are we doing here? It's right. Like repurposing things that already exist. It just, it can get really, really, it can be frustrating and it can get monotonous as well, where you're like, everything looks the same. This is nothing new. I joke that literally, like, I should just start doing very baseline beauty videos. Like, here's how to apply your mascara, because I think everybody knows how to do that. But like, there's like 100,000 people that don't. You know what I mean?
No.
It's the how to cook spaghetti of beauty videos. Like,
yes. Right.
You think everyone knows how?
How to make rice. Like, oh my God.
Sometimes people really don't.
No, totally.
With all that said, though, are there any beauty trends or products, like hot products that you're like, oh, I actually really like this?
Okay. So I think in terms of trends, what we're seeing right now is hair. Hair is the big industry bucket that a lot of people are investing their time and money into. We went through the very heavy matte makeup of like the late, 2010s. Then the pandemic hits and we're forced to look at ourselves all the time via Zoom. We're at home and we're like, oh, maybe I should get my skin in check, because we're all wearing masks and there's maskne and all that stuff. So like, people really went hard on their facial skin. Then they were like, what about our bodies? Like, body care, self-care. So then we saw this influx of body care brands. In the past year, we've seen hair brands skyrocket, because now people don't just want to have a skincare routine. They want a hair care regimen. They want to say, okay, on Mondays, I'm doing my clarifying mask. On Tuesdays, I use my shampoo and conditioner. And then like, I don't wash Wednesday, Thursday. And then Friday, I do this. Like, they want to have just as much of a regimen as they do with their hair as they do with their skincare. And so we're seeing the skinification of hair. Scalp products are huge right now. There's so many scalp serums, so many scalp clarifiers, because your scalp skin is skin. It needs some love as well. And I don't know about y'all, but I remember growing up and being told through marketing or otherwise that you always need to trim your hair and cut your hair so that your hair will grow. And it's like, no, your hair grows from your actual head. Like, it grows from your scalp. Like, your hair may look better when you trim it so that it's all one length and it's not like broken looking and stuff. But like, that's not making your hair grow faster. Trimming your hair is not doing that.
Right.
Again, it's like marketing.
That is
like
so funny.
Got milk. So that's a big trend right now, the skinification of hair. Every day, I feel like I get a pitch for a new hair care brand. In terms of products that I'm loving right now, I really do. I never get sick of this question, because I really love, telling people about brands and like why they're worth it. So K18 just launched this product called Airwash. And if you're not familiar with K18,
you post about this.
Okay. Yeah. This video really blew me away, because I just thought, okay, let me just try this and see what happens. And I was shook. So K18 created this hair mask. It's the $75 bottle. You're like, why would I buy a $75 hair mask? And the whole thing is, you only need a pea-sized amount of it, no matter how long your hair is. I definitely use more. But you wash your hair and then you use this mask after you wring out your hair. You leave it on for 4 minutes. So like, you don't worry about like drying your hair or whatever. You leave it on for 4 minutes and then you can get out of the shower and go about your regular styling. You don't have to worry about washing it out. And I think like that was the biggest problem with hair masks in the past, is like, you kind of had to interrupt your entire shower going experience to like leave the thing on for 10 or 15 minutes. And it's like, okay, so do I shave my legs in between that? Like, how do I make sure that the water isn't like also getting on my hair while it's in there? This, it was basically like, it's a mask. It's going to repair your hair, but it's also kind of like a conditioner you don't wash out and you just go on with your life. And they launched, I believe, in 2020, like early 2020, because I went and got a professional salon service with the team. And then the pandemic hit, and then they launched the consumer-friendly version. And this product, I've talked to countless people, has completely changed their hair, the integrity of their hair, how strong it is, whether it's colored or not. And so, you know, people, I mean, the brand just sold to Unilever Prestige for like an undisclosed amount of money after only being around for 3 years. So like, Unilever really believes in the science behind this brand, and we'll probably see it rolling out to a lot more Unilever brands in the future. But they just launched this product called K18 Airwash. It's their first foray into styling. It's a dry shampoo, but dry shampoo is a name that's not exactly accurate because it's a wet product. So it's not aerosol. When you spritz it, it's a pump and it comes out wet. And so you're kind of like, is this going to mess up my hair? What's going on? But it doesn't. It is proven to actually clean your scalp, remove odor. So it's great for after the gym, after sports, after vacation, the beach, whatever. And the video that Kate's referencing is I had in hair oil. Like I went and I got like a treatment and I had hair oil like all up in my scalp and my hair looked really gross and greasy. And I was like, you know what? Let me just see if this could change anything about my, you know, my look. I did a few spritzes. I massaged it through and my hair looked good as new. And my hair looked good as new, like the next day and the next day and the next day. And so one of the claims they make is that you spritz it and you're good for 3 days. You don't have to apply more of it. You're just good. And it really lived up to it for me. Mm. So I think there's a reason why this is sold out. Like you can't get it anywhere.
Yeah, so I'm on the Sephora website right now and it's sold out.
It's crazy. But I think wow. that, and it's, but it's expensive. That's the thing. It's a $48 dry shampoo. And normally you're like, like I could get Batiste for $7 at Urban Outfitters or something. Like, why would I spend that much? But I think that when we broke it down, it's like the large bottle is supposed to last you at least 6 months if you use the appropriate amount as indicated. So you know, it's like $48 over 6 months. Like that's not bad at all. And I try to always think about that when I'm recommending a product. Like, do I love La Prairie? Yeah, that stuff is great. But do I have the La Prairie budget? Absolutely not. Like, I've told Sarah plenty of times, I'm like, this La Prairie product is great, but I can't recommend that, like, someone go out and buy this $355 essence. Like, it's not a necessary thing unless you just have the money to spend and then good for you. Good for you. But, yeah, I think K18 is really killing it right now. I'm a huge fan of theirs.
Are there any like celebrity brands in the beauty space that you think are really doing it right? One thing we've talked about recently is like the oversaturation of celeb brands and everybody getting in on the trend and making money off of having their own skincare line or makeup line. But like, who do you think, who is actually like one as a celebrity, like truly invested in their products and two, like making really good stuff?
Okay. So I think that we're going to leave Fenty and Rare Beauty out of this because.
Yes, because we know those are good.
They're good. Like Selena Gomez sold $70 million worth of blush last year. Like she's clearly killing it. Serena Williams actually just launched a brand and it's called WYN, W-Y-N, and it's available at Ulta. It's very much leaning into like the tennis of it all. So everything is like this chartreuse. Well, everything is this chartreuse green, yellow, like tennis ball color. But the point of difference for her brand is like it's made for women on the go and it's supposed to last. So there's like a 2-in-1 lip and cheek stain. There's this really beautiful skin tint that's like not irritating if you're sweating when you're outside, but need a little bit of coverage. She has really like a full line and I've had the opportunity to test it. And I think that the skin tint is really great. It comes in so many shades and it's like the perfect tinted moisturizer. It's not oily. So like a lot of these skin tints are like oil based and I can't use them, but I like that this one really actually feels more like a tinted moisturizer. It hydrates the skin. It gives you that nice glow and that coverage that you need without like settling into your lines. And then there's literally a shade for everyone. Like I found my perfect match and I was, cause I went into this, to Ulta to like check it out. And I was very, very impressed. Also, I have to say her timing was pretty incredible because like, obviously she's like the queen of tennis. And right now we're having this huge tennis core moment. And like, then we had challengers come out with Zendaya and people have just literally like, I'm making a video about how like she just really has divine timing, Serena Williams, because she launched this brand like not knowing tennis court was going to be huge this year. And then it just happened. So I think she, even though her brand is new, I think that the products are great. The formulas are performance-based and effective and like work really well. And it's like fun and different looking, which I think like, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people care about packaging. They want to know, like, okay, I have this. I have, you know, I'm separating myself from everybody else. I got to say, Rode is, I think, a really smart brand. Hailey Bieber is very involved with her brand. So, like, oftentimes, a lot of these celebrities, they come on to their brands as the face. So they're not really making a lot of the decisions. Like, they show up for photo shoots and press days. And sure, they might get a little bit into product formulation, but, like, they don't have the ability to make a lot of business decisions. And it's like, that's kind of what we are seeing happen right now with Rose Inc. I don't know if you guys saw, but Rosie Huntington-Whiteley announced that she was leaving her brand, Rose Inc. Oh. And that was because she said, you know, the brand had gotten acquired by a different company last year, and she felt it was her time to step away. What happened was, is Amyris, the company that owns Rose Inc., JVN Beauty, like Stripes from Naomi Watts, a bunch of these celebrity hair or hair, skin and makeup brands went bankrupt. Amyris owns another big skincare company called Biossance, but they went bankrupt last year, and they had a fire sale for a lot of these brands, including JVN and Rose Inc. So Rosie didn't really have any say so in that. And it's unclear whether she was given the opportunity to buy the brand back herself and own it or not. But she's stepping away now from the brand. And I don't know if JVN is doing the same thing, but, you know, in those cases, like, they weren't the ones that bootstrapped these endeavors and, like, made it happen. Hailey put in a lot of her own, you know, money as well to start this brand. And I believe she has a seat on the board. So whatever is going on with her brand, she is fully invested in, and she has a say so in it. And she has a bunch of really great people surrounding her as well. So it's like, yes, they are skincare, and I love the skincare products. The BRC moisturizer is one of my favorites, especially for sensitive skin. And then the lip products, a lot of people love. I love them too. I always have one. But, like, then they go into this phone case, which went viral because it holds your lip gloss. And I think, like, that's the type of innovation. Like, honestly, I love this brand, and everybody that follows me knows that. But, like, it reminds me a lot of, like, the early days of Glossier, where it's like they were shipping out products and those pink bubble wrap packages. Yep. And people wanted those so they could carry them around and say, like, I had the Glossier bag. And it's like, that probably costs $4 and is, like, maybe not great for the environment, but, like, everybody wanted them. And so she was really able to, like, capitalize on Rode being a lifestyle versus Rode just being skincare or lip tints or whatever. So
are you still using the phone case?
Yes. I don't have it on my phone right now because I film, so I have to, like, take it off. But anytime I go out, everyone asks me, like, oh my gosh, I wanted this so bad. I wasn't able to get it. Like, I wasn't on the, you know, I'm on the wait list. So I feel like it's one of those really genius ways to extend a brand without having to, like, make another beauty product.
Yeah, she or whoever is running her marketing is a genius, I think, because they create demand for these products by kind of intentional scarcity. And now everybody wants all of her products. So it's kind of brilliant.
Totally. I'm trying to think if there's any other. It's so funny because, like, I used to be like, oh God, another celebrity brand. And then I was like, wait, I feel like I'm using a lot of celebrity products or, like, influencer products, you know? So, but they're rampant because they're everywhere. So it's like, it's hard for me not to, but, I'm looking right now at, like, a Kosas display, and, like, that's not an influencer brand. That's not a celebrity brand. And I've loved Kosas since I met the founder Sheena in 2015. I think they've done, like, a really beautiful job, like, with their brand. I think they also take, consumer feedback, very seriously, and they will, like, relaunch products if they feel that they have fallen short in some aspects. So I love Kosas. I'm, like, looking around. There's, like, a bunch, you know, there's actually a new celeb brand that just launched called Aura Bella. It's from Bella Hadid. It's a fragrance line, and this is what it looks like, little crystal. And is, I believe, the 50 milliliter version. But you can buy it, and there's a little stand that it sits on, so you can display it. Otherwise, they just like lay sideways. But there are three different fragrances. And if you look, you can see that there's like an oil in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an alcohol-free fragrance that they're calling – it's a biphase skin scent. So when you spritz it on, there's like a little bit of like oil slash balm that gets on you that you can rub in to your skin. And it helps for the fragrance to linger. And it kind of reminds me of like if you had like a little like locket with like the solid perfume. Do you guys have any solid perfumes?
I don't have any solid perfumes.
They're like,
I know what you, I have in the past. Yes.
So it's like taking a solid perfume and then putting it into a liquid fragrance so that it lasts longer and it like lingers on the skin a little bit longer. And I'm personally, I think the scents are very unique. One's really masculine. One is very, one reminds me of like being a kid, and then one is very feminine, in a way that it's kind of hard to explain, but I've been wearing it out and people are keep asking me like, what are you wearing? That's amazing. I'm like, it's Bella Hadid's fragrance. So I'm a fan. Way to go, Bella.
Wow.
I know.
Okay, Bella Hadid. Interesting. That's I wasn't expecting a Bella Hadid reference in this episode. Okay. I saw that she launched something, but I honestly was like, I don't know what that is.
Listen, Bella Hadid is living her best life. She lives in Fort Worth, Texas, and is like dating a cowboy and is just like living her little free spirit life. And that's all I want for her.
Yeah, she really is. I like the cowboy situation she's got going on.
Same.
Oh, well, Kirby, this has been a delightful conversation.
I mean, yeah, the best.
It's funny being on the opposite end because I'm like, okay, now I get to interview y'all. Like, when am I going to get to interview y'all?
I know, it's so wild. I mean, anytime you want, but not right now.
No, not right now. But I just want to say, I said this before, but publicly, I admire both of you so much. And I know that the new direction of the show is something that you did not take lightly. And it's such a hard thing to do, Kate, to step away from something that you love, especially with the person you love. And Dory continuing on a path where you're not sure where it's going to go. And you're probably thinking like, am I going to be able to recreate the magic? Or like, what is the new magic? Or like, how am I going to do this? I have full faith in you. And Kate, I respect you so much for doing what you need to do for yourself. So I love you both.
And
anytime you need anything, please text me whatever you like. I would love to stay in touch, obviously, in whatever capacity.
Oh,
that's so kind of you.
Thank you. Thanks for saying that. Truly. So
likewise.
Nice. And thank you for coming on. It was really, really great to get to talk to you again.
Anytime.
You know, we saw Kirby at a luncheon a few months ago, you and I. We went to a luncheon.
We sure did.
How formal does that sound? We went to
a luncheon.
And you know, it was for the lovely brand Vintner's daughter. It was really wonderful. And Kirby was there. I think we both talked to her and we were both like, oh gosh, please, Kirby, we need to do this with microphones.
Yes. She's a queen. She is a queen.
She's a queen. She also had a very beautiful sparkly bag at that lunch that I think about often.
Mm.
I think about it often. Mm-hmm. Well, Dory, it's time to set some intentions.
Let's set some.
This is a meaningful practice that I have loved doing with you for this era that we have been in. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to really think through these last few podcast intentions that I am setting. Okay. My intention last week was to feel my feelings about departing the show and doing whatever I need to take care of myself. And I'm still kind of doing those things. And I just want to, again, just say thanks to you, Dory, and everybody who's just been so supportive. This week, I need to begin laying out my half marathon walking training program.
Mm.
So I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to put it all into a Google calendar. I'm doing that in October. You know, the other thing I need to do is I need to be like very assertive in promoting my book that's coming out next month.
Oh,
I need to remember to assert. So look, everybody, please pre-order One Last Summer. You will get so many goodies if you do. So many goodies. You'll get a really good bonus content thingy from me if you pre-order it. You can order signed copies. I will have that link for you in our show notes, but it's coming out in a month and I gotta like put myself out there. So I have two intentions, walking and talking about my book.
Okay, this is exciting. Kate, I'm into this for you.
I should also note that if anybody's like, what half marathon walking program you're doing, I'm using the book Marathoning for Mortals, which is a book I have used for half marathon training for when I've run a half marathon and also run walk to half marathon.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a great book. How about you?
Well, last week, my intention was about Henry's birthday. And this week, my intention is about planning my birthday party. which Kate is hosting, which I think we mentioned on the casual chat. And I know, Kate, you are just offering your home, but to me, that is hosting.
Well, yes. And I also want to say, like, I will try to not insert myself too much, but I do have a friend who has a beautiful charcuterie board business. If if I may, donate a charcuterie board to the eats for the night.
Kate, I'm not going to turn down a charcuterie board. Are you kidding?
Beautiful boards. And you know what? I believe her best friend listens to this podcast.
Oh, because hello.
She was like, my friend knows who you are. And I was like, okay. So anyway.
Well.
If you're Angie's bestie, hello. Yeah, tell us about your birthday, Dory. What are your birthday intentions?
Well, you know, it's been a challenging year. And I haven't done a lot of like the self-care, like pampering self-care that I used to do more of. I haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah.
So I think on my actual birthday, I'm going to do some, like, I'm going to get a massage and just kind of like relax a little bit and worry about the credit card bill later.
You know what? I love this for you.
So that, I think, is what I'm going to do on my actual birthday. Yeah. And then, of course, 2 days later, you are hosting a bash.
Wild bash.
I've hired the DJ. Mm-hmm. And I've invited 500 of my closest friends.
I cannot wait. Keg stands for days.
What I'm picturing is the day club vibe of the episode of the OC where they go to Vegas.
Oh my gosh. So many people kissing at this pool party for Dory's birthday.
That's what you were picturing, right?
Oh, 100%.
Just with a charcuterie board.
With one charcuterie board. We're not going to eat a lot for the 500 people, but...
Right. Yes, exactly. And I'll wear a bikini.
We all will.
We all will. Yeah. So, I don't know. I kind of like celebrating my birthday, I think, because I like getting... Like, I like to get to see all my friends together.
Yeah. Your birthday
is just like a nice time.
I always have fun at your birthday gatherings because you do a great job of bringing different people together from different parts of your life and everybody kind of doing something together and it not feeling like disparate groups kind of talking in their corners.
Yeah. I mean, I had this conversation with you off the air, but like I think especially like coming out of COVID, I have a real hard time with just like parties that I call like standing around and talking parties.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone. I do too. So,
I really need like an activity for me to have a good time and hopefully for my guests or your guests as the case may be to also have a good time. So
I look forward to toasting you.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks everyone for listening. Forever 35 is hosted and produced by me, Doris Shafrir, and Kate Spencer, and produced and edited by Sam Junio. Sammy Reed is our project manager and our network partner is Acast. Thanks for listening and for supporting us. We are grateful for you. Bye.